With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at Marines.com.
Oh, Thursday. It is Thursday. Yes, and I am Dominic D'Angelo of AdFreeShows.com, SEScoops.com, and as usual, I am here today with Robert Karpolis, WE Creative _ish. Robert, lots to talk about today. Lots to talk about.
We got tons of stuff to talk about today. We're not wasting any time, Dom. We are starting with what happened last night, quite possibly the single biggest news story of the year. Yeah. Rolling Stone is reporting an 8-episode Billy Corgan reality show is debuting. It is going to be called Billy Corgan's Adventures in Carneyland. It will premiere May 14th on the CW app as well as the CW website. This unscripted series, Dom,
yes,
finds Billy Corgan balancing his home life with his soon-to-be wife, Chloe Mendel, and their children while talking about his job both as a rock star and as the owner of the National Wrestling Alliance.
Oh my gosh. Quote
that Corrigan said, he is rebuilding the historic NWA brand that has been both an honor and a challenge for him. And this show opens the doors wide, so to speak, to reveal the glory and the grit needed to thrive in a winner-take-all sport. It's not always pretty, but I'm proud of what we have accomplished thus far. He also added that they're thrilled to share an inside look at their family life. Guys, we've been talking about it for months. Billy and the CW is now going to be this reality show. It's starting May 17th. I mean, this is blockbuster news, folks. And I know that's what you're tuned in here for. Dom, when you heard this, what was the first thing you thought?
I can't wait for REM to get back together. I'm so excited.
Great. They also said they're searching for a guitar player for the Smashing Pumpkins, which is weird. So they're going on tour in Europe with Weezer, and then they're going to be here in the United States as a supporting act. There's another tour that they were going to be on. I'm gonna find it. With Green Day. I knew it was two really strong groups. But you know what, guys? I'm sure the comments are abuzz. It's late breaking Billy and the CW news here today. Again, for those of you just tuning in case you missed it, biggest news story in all of professional wrestling, Billy Corgan's Adventures in Carneyland premieres May 14th.
I mean, that's Booker of the Year material right there, too. I think he's already got a leg up on everybody else in pro wrestling, I think, with this kind of news.
This is huge. It's blockbuster. I mean, I know the CW app is going to be a little daunting for some of you folks. You're a little concerned.
I'm not familiar with it.
So if you download it on your phone, or you go online, you can still watch the CW. It's not on the CW TV channel. Mm-hmm. That's where NXT is.
Right. Don't worry about that though.
But on the CW app, I believe you can also find NWA programming, Dom.
Yeah, I think that is true. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I tell you what, 2024 is really shaping up, Robert.
2024 is huge. It's exciting. I don't think we're going to top this. It's the Billy and the CW show. This is what everybody's been really excited for. Looking here in the comments. We got David Van Boglin says, "Let's go, Dom. Lunch break and rumor and innuendo can't beat that." Matt Buswell, afternoon from the UK. Can we get TK in a plastic box like Heel Cole? I don't know what he's talking about with TK. Antonio Santos, happy Mustache Thursday. Entering offering free training for Tony Khan to take a proper. I don't know what the hell any of this stuff is talking about. Finally, here we go. David Van Vogelin says NWA is a solid show. So clearly that is a paid advertisement. and Adam Goodman says we can end the show now on that. So I think that's really all we got to talk about, Dom. We'll throw in a Blue Chew and a Factor ad, and we're going to wrap it up for today. I will give a quick shout out to Ken, who says that mustache makes me fear for my life. Oh, that's good. A reference to that thing that happened with Tony Khan in the video footage where we saw Tony face the most daunting physical task of his life. And guys, if you're worried about your physicality, may we recommend our friends at Blue Chew. This episode is sponsored by Blue Chew. Let's talk about sex. Guys, remember the days when you were always ready to go? Now you can increase your performance and get that extra confidence in bed. Visit BlueChew.com. Blue Chew is a unique online service that delivers the same active ingredients as Viagra, Cialis, and Levitra, but in chewable tablets and at a fraction of the cost. You can take them anytime, day or night, so you can plan ahead or be ready whenever an opportunity arises. The process is simple. Sign up at BlueChew.com, consult with one of their licensed medical providers, and once you're approved, you'll receive your prescription within days. The best part? It's all done online, just like watching Billy and the CW on the CW app. Blue Chew is all done online. No visits to the doctor's office, no awkward conversations, and no waiting in line at the pharmacy. Blue Chew's tablets are made in the USA and prepared and shipped directly to your door in a discreet package. Guys, I know how excited you are about Billy and the CW. You're going to be doubly excited when you pop one of these Blue Chews, because Blue Chew wants to help you have better sex. Discover your options at BlueChew.com. Chew it and do it. And we've got a special deal for our listeners. Try Blue Chew free when you use our promo code Rumor at checkout. Just pay $5 shipping. That's BlueChew.com, promo code Rumor, to receive your first month free. Visit BlueChew.com for more details and important safety information. And we thank Blue Chew for sponsoring this very special Rumor and Innuendo edition. Sorry, the Billy and the CW in a Rumor and Innuendo. I'm so excited. I'm so pumped. I don't think we have anything else to talk about here, Dom. Let's
yeah, I'm looking at the rundown here. It doesn't seem to add up anymore. You know,
your other podcast. You got Rob Van Dam and Greg Gagne is still alive. What is he talking about?
Yeah. So Greg, he is talking a little bit about AEW Dynamite.
Oh, yeah. So Dynamite was last. We always kind of forget the day after. It's kind of a pretty, whatever kind of show. I'm going to pull up my notes here on Dynamite. Look, yes. We finally found out the big mystery. Mm-hmm. Where was Chuck Taylor going to align? Right. Was it going to be with Orange Cassidy or was it going to be with Trent?
Were you surprised by that, Robert?
I was genuinely surprised. That's a deep friendship. They've been around for a long time. I don't know what they're going to do with Chuck Taylor now as Orange Cassidy's buddy. I think the best friends potentially as heels, as smarmy heels, works really well. Chuck Taylor as a babyface, worse as an earnest babyface, not the all-time greatest. Trent looked very good. The segment did not work. Orange Cassidy looked like he was taking a nap in the middle of the ring.
Yeah, a little, he lingered there a little too long, it seemed.
he did. Then there was Swerve Kyle Fletcher.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Good first outing for Swerve, but I want to ask your opinion. Did you feel like Swerve, as the new world champion, felt marginalized on this show?
A bit, yes. The fact that they just kind of, he didn't even really lead off the show. They had so many segments. I didn't think we were going to get to wrestling at a certain point. And then he came in. I do want to say though, him working into the match, him and Kyle Fletcher, they had a very good match, I thought. And then that kind of made you feel that Swerve has that ability to be that champion that you're looking for and stuff like that. So I did kind of get more
agree. Of that. Mm-hmm. I completely agree that they put him in there with the right guy to make him look strong, to make him look competent. You tune in and you go, oh, this guy as the world champion is in that Ric Flair vein. If you put him in there with anybody and he's going to make it feel important and special. The challenge was when you didn't open with Swerve, you opened with the Elite arriving.
Right.
And then you had that Orange Cassidy segment, which is a lower mid-card feud at best. You should have opened with Swerve. That was his big coronation. That was his big moment in Jacksonville in front of the Daily's Place crowd. you know, Swerve wrestled a lot of matches on the indies in Florida, in Orlando. I remember when we had him in MLW from day one, that crowd knew who he was. They loved him. They were chanting, you know, whose house, Swerve's house, right off the bat. You would have gotten a big time reaction out of that crowd. People watching all over the world, assuming that the sound actually worked in some of these places. Because you know, a lot of it was pretty horrible, pretty terrible. It was like you're an infinitely better producer than those folks over there. He was just a guy in a match with a title, and there's so many other titles that are going on. This should have been a show almost entirely about new world champion. Look how important he is. Look how special he is. Couple of the matches here, Mina Shirakawa, Anna Jay. Did they turn Toni Storm babyface in this thing, Dom?
I guess. And then Serena Deeb came out, which was unexpected too. And
unexpected or unwelcome?
I like Serena Deeb, but it just seemed very random.
Well, Serena Deeb's been like reestablishing herself, but primarily on Rampage and Collision. That audience was not like, oh my gosh, we're finally, it's going to be Serena Deeb. They were just baffled. And we know that Serena Deeb is not going to beat Toni Storm. So we know that in the weeks and months ahead, as we build to, I'm guessing Double or Nothing is where this is going to take place. It's another lame duck challenger. You've got Thunder Rosa and Deonna Purrazzo feuding with one another. You have this weird lack of a hierarchy with their women's titles, because they did an in-ring celebration for Willow Nightingale just to bring Mercedes Moné out there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So is Mercedes challenging for the TBS title because that's the more important title? Or is she challenging Willow because of the personal story and we're elevating the titles? It's strange that with Toni, it's like feast or famine with the women. Right. Either we get one 9:30, 5-minute match, or they're in like four segments and none of it made a real lick of sense.
Yeah, it's... You know, to how they've been, you would think that somebody that was established, like they would have been building Thunder Rosa to the point of Double or Nothing instead of having that match on Dynasty. And here you're kind of like, okay, here's Serena Deeb. And like Excalibur was even saying, oh, she's been undefeated so far in 2024. And I'm like, I haven't even seen her in 2024. Like, you know,
I saw her once. I think I had to watch a Collision for a WrestleRose Patreon or something. Uh-huh. And they brought her back. And she has a compelling story that she's come back from injury. She's obviously an established veteran. She's trying to improve the locker room. And I thought they were building her up to feed her to Mercedes Moné as a first opponent. As someone who is a heel, but an established wrestler. Someone who came from the WWE, who knows how to work a television style. And would have been somebody you could just feed to the new CEO and everybody was going to be happy. Instead, her going after Toni Storm and Mercedes Moné going after Willow and still trying to figure out that great Alex Marvez mystery of, we need help. Someone, come hey, on, help.
Come on.
Mercedes. And then we know where we're ultimately going with it. But it's not the kind of stories I think that the audience really is tuning in for. Something they would have been tuning in for if we knew about it was the casino battle royal match.
Yeah. Yeah. I'd really like that, Robert. I liked something you should promote, but I did like the unexpectedness of it and the intrigue of like, hey, who's coming out next? And then you have Will Ospreay popping up there in the middle and furthering something. You know, it's the international title and it's Roderick Strong. That kind of seems like an underwhelming match for Double or Nothing for Will Ospreay. But I think, you know, you're just going to get a title win. He's going to carry that title for a while until maybe getting to Wembley or whatever it may be. But I like that. I liked it. That was probably, I mean, the match of the night for me, I guess, I would say. And cluster messes of kind of matches too, but I thought it was nicely done. Yeah.
Look at you watching your language. I'm so proud of you, Dom.
Thanks.
That was something that I would have advertised if I was AEW. You know, we talked yesterday about the preview of what was going to happen here. If you would have said there was going to be a casino battle royal to determine the number one contender for the international title, mm-hmm. which I'll be honest, I forgot who had the international title for a moment. I thought it was Okada's title. I know he's got a title.
Oh my gosh, that's right. Which one is that? What is the name of that title?
I don't remember. But here's what's so I'm watching this match. And I'm going, oh, it's the international title, and I see you start out with Jay White and Dante Martin, and you're highlighting all this incredible talent in there. You have Penta, yeah. Kyle O'Reilly is a great wrestler. You have Commander who jumps a whole lot, and I kept thinking, oh, we're gonna get Ospreay and Okada. Because even before Ospreay was out there, I'm like, who could win them? I'm like, oh, we're getting a huge match for Double or Nothing. And then they're like, and the winner is going to face Roderick Strong. And I was like, oh, damn. And Ospreay looked incredible. I feel like he elevated everybody he was in the ring with. This man is a massive, massive star.
Yes.
You can't overstate it enough how great Will Ospreay is. And I'm someone that was not all bought in on this guy until I saw what he was going to do week in and week out in AEW. And he just elevates every aspect of it. That even when I saw Jay Lethal, who, as we know, has been an associate of the enemy of rumor and innuendo, that damn Jeff Jarrett.
Jeff.
I like it. Tony Schiavone, though, laying it on a little thick in the, it can get up to 21 people if we make it that far. I saw there was a line of 21 guys. And I'm like, okay, so we're clearly not getting to the end of this match. Like, it was so overly tough. But you know what? That's fine. I'm okay with that. It worked well. Am I excited to see Ospreay sucked into the Undisputed Kingdom storyline? Not a chance in hell. No, I want him as far away from the devil and the devil storyline as possible. Could have been worse, Dom. He could have been challenging for the FTW title.
That is true. That is true. Yes, Chris Jericho came out, thanked the fans, thanked Hooked, thanked Terry Funk for everything, and changed the name of the FTW championship from F the World to For the World Championship. And then who came out but Big Bill? Wanted to learn under the learning tree of Chris Jericho. Jericho said, I like you. I like the talent that you have. You got to prove it to me. And Big Bill was like, I will prove it to you. And then later on, we get Shibata. He's going to face Shibata next week. Robert, we've talked about Jericho quite a bit on this show.
Have we?
Before I've even been on this show.
I don't know what you're talking about. I have nothing to disclose about anything that may or may not have transpired with Chris Jericho, other than the fact that hell of a wrestler. And could you get more random than Big Bill? I don't know what it is in AEW where they think that Jericho just needs a big guy who's not a great worker to be aligned with. You know, we had it with Jake Hager. Now we're having it here with Big Bill. I understand he needs a heater. He needs a muscle. The Big Bill stuff makes so little sense that even the commentary team was like, wait, he was a former world tag team champion like 2 months ago. And we're playing it off. This is a guy who has no confidence.
Right. Yeah, I will say, I think it got Jericho off on a right foot in certain ways.
How about we don't ever say the phrase got Jericho off ever again?
Oh, jeez. But I think he's shown the ability to be that patronizing guy that's like just completely full of himself and able to kind of do this thing. I think it could potentially have some legs when it comes to maybe helping out Big Bill and seeing where it kind of goes. Plus, I'm a big Terry Funk fan, so anytime you name drop him, you got me sold, I think, Robert.
Yeah, I don't know how thrilled Terry Funk is that he was being pulled into this Jericho stuff. Like, this is the part of it that makes me a little uncomfortable. So traveling back to December when all of the unpleasantness occurred with Chris Jericho, where there were you know, supposed theoretical allegations that people made, and it became a story unto itself, and the crowd was chanting about it and booing him and all this, and it turned the tide against Chris Jericho. So then he was off TV for a little while, and then he was in a lot of different pandering roles to protect him. So now, by him doing this fake, like, everybody loves me, and then that's why we're booing him, it just doesn't, it doesn't feel great. That's all. I would have preferred Jericho to not be on TV at all, but leaning into the whole like, oh, they're booing me because I'm a heel, when there's, I think, a certain set of the audience that I think is booing him because they have very strong feelings about Chris being on TV. I'm not necessarily in that boat, but I know that there are folks who are, and I feel like this is taking advantage of something that you don't want to necessarily step into. But at the risk of losing you as a co-host, we're going to move on to another another thing here. And that was Moxley and Hobbs. What do you think of that one?
Kind of fell flat for me, to be honest. I liked Moxley's promo beforehand. I really like Moxley, too. And I like Powerhouse Hobbs a lot. But it just felt out of place, I think, in certain ways. Just the finish to the match kind of felt unserendipitous, kind of felt it didn't do Hobbs too many favors, I think. And yeah, I just kind of left it at that. It was underwhelming, I thought. Robert, what about you?
You don't feed a guy like Hobbs to Moxley to further the IWGP title. I think Hobbs is very much, I don't want to say once in a generation star, because that's really like, that's insane. But like, he has got a tremendous amount of promise. I think he's got a lot of upside to him. And you need to protect a guy like that. You can't have him choked out by Moxley in this sort of match. I understand Moxley's a former world champion. I get all of that.
Right.
When Moxley is in this role, in this position, in this situation, and there's no story around it, it's not helping anybody. Because the fans just watched John Moxley beat a rising up-and-coming star. And instead of feeling like, boy, what this really made Hobbs, it was like, boy, this kind of stunk. It didn't make Hobbs look great. Now we're going to get to Keshin next week. I thought for sure the Don Callis engine was going to be targeting Swerve. Since, you know, everybody wants to be world champion, there's a new world champion. You could have lined up Kyle Fletcher and Hobbs and Takeshita to get to some sort of great payoff in the end. Instead, we're furthering the IWGP title. And you had Moxley cutting a promo to the camera about a guy in New Japan that he's feuding with. So he doesn't even seem to care about this Don Callis feud that he's in right now. I'm at a loss.
Yeah, you would think too. As much as I liked the Moxley promo too at the beginning of the show, shouldn't that spot have gone to Swerve, your champion, your AEW champion? So
you know what I blame? I blame this on the fact that the folks there in AEW just they haven't had they're not thinking straight. They clearly need a good meal. They need full bellies. And guys, if you're looking for a full belly, can we recommend our friends at Factor? Let's eat stress-free this spring with Factor's delicious, ready-to-eat meals. Every fresh, never-frozen meal is chef-crafted, dietitian-approved, and ready to eat in just 2 minutes. Choose from a weekly menu of 35 options, including popular options like Calorie Smart, Keto, Protein Plus, or Vegan and Veggie. Also discover more than 60 add-ons every week, like breakfast, on-the-go lunch, snacks, and beverages to help you stay fueled and feel good all day long. What are you waiting for? Get started today and fuel up for your springtime goals. Guys, this thing is a total game changer in my household. As I mentioned, my wife is traveling away on business, so I was going to be slaves to, Uber Eats and bringing in all kinds of terrible crap. Instead, I'm eating gourmet meals. They got filet mignon. They got shrimp. They got broccolini, asparagus. This is no fuss, no mess stuff. You pop it in for 2 minutes. You're eating like a king. I had a tremendous feast last night while I was sitting down and watching AEW Dynamite. And we're done recording this today. I got a marathon of podcast recordings. We're doing this show, then we're recording Wrestle Roast. In between, Dom, as soon as we hop off here, I'm going to go pop one of those Factor meals in and eat. And you can join me on this by heading to factormeals.com/rumor50 and use code rumor50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box. That's code rumor50 at factormeals.com/rumor50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is active. And things that are active, Dom, the WWE draft, they announced the rules of the draft. A little wonky, a little convoluted. I'm going to let you break these down.
Sure. Yeah. So, they're switching it up, I think, a little bit here, but they did announce the rules on it, social media. This Friday, SmackDown will have 4 rounds, 16 picks in total. Then Raw will have 6 rounds, 24 picks in total. Champions, now this is the interesting part, champions on each brand will be protected. So Cody Rhodes will not be jumping back to Raw, and nor will Damian Priest be going to SmackDown. So, but however, the WWE Women's Tag Team titles are up for grabs, and they are eligible for either show. And SmackDown will pick first on Friday. Raw will pick first on Monday. The rosters will lock on May 6th. So setting the tone for the WWE draft coming up there, Robert.
Don't love the fact that the champions are immune. It does kind of make sense now why they really rushed to put the title on Becky Lynch.
Right.
They wanted to make it clear, because the part of it is we do have to pretend that there is some degree of reality to what's going on in a draft. And if you're picking your top 5 picks and Becky Lynch is not one of your top 5 picks, it looks odd. But they don't want to move Becky over to SmackDown. They clearly want to keep her on Monday night. So you make the champions immune. I thought for sure we were going to see a Cody Damian Priest switch. I thought the folks at Netflix were going to want Cody, who's sort of the face of the WWE, to be the face of Netflix. There's still a long time between now and towards the end of the year, but the interesting name, Dom, is that Roman Reigns is up for a draft.
That's cool.
So there's a possibility they could stack Raw with a number of big name established stars going forward. Tomorrow for Friday's show, we're going to do a big draft preview spectacular. That's right. We're using the special word spectacular at noon Eastern. There was some Undertaker news.
Yes, Undertaker. He happened to talk a little bit about secondary titles, particularly for the women's division. On his podcast, 6 Feet Under, the division is deep. He says, I would like to see a women's intercontinental champion and possibly, because there are two brands, a women's United States champion. Robert, what do you think of secondary titles for the WWE women's division? Is it too much? Does it kind of convolute things just a little bit more? What do you think there?
I would not mind a secondary women's title. There was that sign in the crowd during the women's battle royal where someone was like, make more women's titles. When you watch that battle royal, you realize there are a lot of talented women on the roster, but not everyone in there is at the caliber of being world champion. Mm-hmm. And you need a secondary title for there to be that stepping stone, that jumping off point. Like we're seeing it on SmackDown with Tiffany Stratton. Tiffany Stratton comes in, you're immediately feuding with Bayley. And if she beats Bayley, well, she's women's champion within the first like 2 months. So then you wind up with women who have 4, 5, 6, 7 reigns as women's champion. There's nowhere else to go. I like the idea of a secondary title. There is clearly a huge roster on Raw, big roster on SmackDown of women who not everybody is immediately going to be challenging Becky Lynch for that title. I think you look at if they're going to bring up Roxanne Perez to the main roster, I'd love to see her going for a secondary title, or establishing a Tegan Knox, who we see sort of intermittently. I don't hate the idea at all. We know that WWE is very protective right now of their titles. That was not always the case, but we're in this new Paul Triple H Levesque era where they are really ensuring that champions have long reigns. Titles mean something, because when you're telling a story, you want to be able to pull that lever. Guys, if you want to pull that lever, that would have been a great Blue Chew. We already did a Blue Chew read.
Hold the lever there.
We're at the end of the show, so you know, we're running out of time. Where else can the fine people find you in podcast form?
Well, yeah, you can find me at rvdtv.com. That is rvdtv.com. We had the new episode drop on Monday, every Monday, 4:20 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We cover inspirations from RVD with several names. So we cover a lot of ground like that. And tonight we will be recording a live episode. So join us at 9:15 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on rvdtv.com or on Rob Van Dam's YouTube channel itself. And chime in, get a question in, interact with Rob live tonight on YouTube. Also, live later on, too, if you happen to listening, you can check out Straight Talk with the Boss. We are also going to be live at 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time to cover some newsworthy topics, as well as a spotlight wrestler or two for this week. So stay tuned for that. Go to fourhorsemannetwork.com. Check that out. Robert, I think we covered pretty much everything today, right? But
I'm excited that other people are going to get a chance to see your mustache, not just the rumor and innuendo wins. Yes, I have my other podcast, Wrestle Roast, with my co-hosts, Dan St. Germain, Scott Chaplin, and Mike Lawrence, and Dom as our intrepid producer. And we'll be back here tomorrow at noon Eastern on the WWE Creative-ish underscore. Oh my gosh, I messed up my own thing. Ooh. WWE Creative underscore ISH X account, Dominic D'Angelo X account, the SE Scoops X account, the Podcast Heat X account. Podcast Heat is who makes this show possible, as well as on YouTube on Rumor and Innuendo and ad-free shows. Dom, I think we covered it all. Oh, apparently Tony Khan was brutally attacked. More on that tomorrow, I guess. But yeah, we're out of time. We had to get that billion the CW news in.
That was the big thing. That was the big thing, though, Robert. I mean,
so on behalf of the still mustachioed Dominic D'Angelo, I'm Robert Karpolis. Best of luck in your future endeavors.
Tummy punch.